Good morning, everyone. Today, I'm talking on Christian generosity. So we've been going through 2 Corinthians and wanting to start up, basically go through three main points. So I've got what is generosity and thinking here in a Christian context. I'm not going to just go to a dictionary and say that's what generosity is. Talking about the idea of being cheerful in our generosity and where do we be generous? So, what is generosity? I've come up with my own definition for the purposes of this morning's message, and that's generosity is the outworking of loving your neighbour as yourself. So, we know that being generous is giving to others around us, but it really ties in a biblical sense to this idea that we are asked to love our neighbour as ourselves, and it fundamentally changes how we look at giving if we can actually put that out there in our lives and do that. Much easier said than done, though. So what can that look like, practically speaking? What are the different areas that that may look in? And I wanted to run through three different areas as part of what is generosity. So we've got finances, time, and possessions. So we talked about finance before. We heard about it in the Bible reading. So it said in there, "Now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." And I wanted to highlight this next little bit. "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability." So this was a really, really poor church and they were just super duper generous in what they were doing there. Interestingly, this part here is talking about a bit of a something that was really to be celebrated and aspire to. The teaching bit comes next, and interesting, there's a slight difference here. So when he talks about kind of what's expected of Christians, he talks here about according to what one has. So there's kind of like two different pieces here. You've got an awesome example to aspire to, and then the kind of prescriptive piece, which is saying this is what we have to do, is saying that give according to what one has. So that's like the bit, I see that as a bit of the baseline. And then God can call us to go over and above, even beyond what we can do. But the piece here in 2 Corinthians is saying, make sure you give according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. So I think that's important there. And then also talks about, and this is relating to finances too, our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but there might be equality. And it goes on and talks a bit about that. It's interesting, I was looking at this part of the passage and I've heard people say to me before that Jesus was a communist. Has anyone heard someone say stuff like that before? No one? No? A few people maybe? They look at Christian teaching and be like, well, Jesus talked about, you know, sharing your possessions and do that. The communist mantra from Marx was from each according to their ability to each according to their need. And you might be reasonably thinking, oh, is that what Bible's teaching here? I don't think so. And here's the main reason. So from a governmental system, you're talking about forcing this upon people. So from each according to their need to each according to their ability under communism is an idea of we're going to force everyone who can do things to do this work, otherwise you're going to go off to a labour camp and then you're going to, you know, give to people who can't have it. Whereas the Christian teaching has got a fundamentally different underlying piece to it, which is this is a voluntary thing that we're doing, and it's absolutely essential to this idea of generosity, is that this is something that we willingly do. We come in as Christians, and I'll talk more about our attitude towards it in a moment, but there's this idea that we actually want to do this as a part of our identity of being Christians. Another area of generosity is time. So in 1 Peter 4:10 it says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." I find in our modern day society, this can be a particularly challenging one. I'm going to speak from my own personal experience, is that I find time is so limited that there's so many different things going on in my life. I work a lot, I have young children, I do this and that. And the idea of being generous with time can actually be quite a challenging thing. And we're in a society that is so busy. Everything's getting constantly thrown at us. We have, you know, social media to take us away over there. We have Netflix to take us away over there. And then when someone asks time of us, it actually feels like, oh, I don't have time for things. I've got all these things I wanted to do. So I think time is a really important part of being generous. And some examples could be things, I've got a couple up there for you to have a look at. So these are some examples of what generosity with your time might look like. So it could be visiting people in hospital. I know many of you did that recently. Could be cooking meals, it could be mentoring someone in need, it could be volunteering at Transformations. Serving in your local church, helping someone move house, those types of things. There's so many examples of how we can help people. And then another area of generosity is what we're doing with our possessions. So in Acts 4 verse 32, this is very, very early church, they were all sharing their things together. So all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. Another way that was seen in the early church was around being opening up your home. So we see quite a few of these types of scriptures in the New Testament where it's talking about someone opening up their house to have the church meet there. So it says, please give my greetings to our brothers and sisters in Laodicea and to Nympha and the church that meets in her house. So we see this is actually a common thing in scripture too, just that, oh, I've got a house that's big enough to actually have people there, and we have this lovely facility here that we can meet in, but I know many people will open up their home for something like a home group or other things where they can, or have just people over and use that as a blessing to those around them. And the Bible also talks about being generous to our possessions. Give to the one who asks you and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. So there's this idea that we can be generous in those areas. We talk about finances, time and our possessions. Then I wanted to talk about being cheerful, our attitude towards generosity. And this is the key part about, you know, the government can come in and force us to be generous with our things. You know, you could look at taxations, be like, oh yes, we're not really being generous with our taxes because we have to do it. The beauty of our Christian walk is that this is something that we willingly give. So I wanted to talk both about our attitude and the barriers that we might face. So going back to our passage in 2 Corinthians, it's talking about the church, their overflowing joy. So even though they're really in extreme poverty there, they had this huge joy and they really, really wanted to help people. And then later on in the next chapter, there's this section that talks, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Again, coming to this attitude that this idea of generosity, that something that we want to do, it's not been mandated and forced upon us. And then the beginning of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1 to 2, we're also talking about this line, your eagerness to help, that there's this something that's really positively talked about in scriptures, this idea that we actually want to help those around us. It's not this burden that, oh, we have to do this. It's something that we desire to do. And that's why I wanted to then talk about, okay, so selfish motivations. How does this all kind of come in? Because what if we don't have that desire to be generous? And I'll probably start off with this one, which is talking about selfish motivation. Sometimes we can actually give because we get something out of it. There can be this desire or need to want to be acknowledged for, to be seen to be generous, and it's like, oh, let's go and shout this from the rooftop. And then you can expect people to be generous back to you. There's a bit of give and take here, that if I'm generous over here, I'm expecting that person to be generous back. Might be more generous to the people who I think are going to give something back to me. So there's a couple of attitudes to watch out for. And I wanted to go a quick detour here and talk about receiving, because we can also have some bad attitudes. This is mostly about giving and being generous. This is a topic of this morning. However, I want to take a moment to look at this idea of receiving, because there can actually be some bad motivations to receiving too. We might want to milk a situation to get more for myself. Or am I being lazy or selfish in something? So this idea of being generosity is that if we're actually working hard and actually using what God's given us, that if, you know, God's given us the ability to work hard and earn money, then we shouldn't be looking around for how can I get everyone to give to me so I don't have to do as much. It actually should be the opposite. We should be doing things diligently ourselves, and then we can actually help those around us rather than looking to see what we can get. And then I wanted to go back to this idea of generosity happens when you love your neighbour as yourself. So I just see it as this thing that if we get the love your neighbour as yourself piece, then I think the generosity will come as a natural outflow of that. And one of the key barriers is actually loving this world. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17 says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." So when if you're thinking about your attitude towards generosity, I think one of the key barriers we'll face is this idea of loving the things of the world. And the culture and society we live in makes this so easy. We have so many material things in our lives, so many creature comforts, probably more so than, definitely more so than any point in history. If you think about the things of the world, this was an issue back in Jesus' time 2,000 years ago. They didn't have nearly as many distractions and things in the world to get caught up as we do today. Nowadays, we've got the internet, so the world's at your screen right there. And we're in a very wealthy country. So even people in Australia who don't have a lot, we still have mobile phones and things like that, which gives us so many things to be distracted by. So this idea of loving, do not love the world or anything in the world, is actually really, really important and one of the keys to being generous. So I think if you're finding that you struggle with this idea of being generous and wanting to hold on to things, I think you have to really wrestle with this idea of where your love with the world is going. And Jesus had a solution to having too much focus on worldly things. It's basically his answer is give them away. Many of us here will be familiar with the story of the rich young ruler. So this young man came to Jesus and said, what do I have to do to obtain eternal life? And Jesus asked him about, have you kept all the commandments? And he's like, yep, flawless, which is a bit suspect on its own, but he's like, yes, I'm awesome, I've done all of these different things. And Jesus realised that one of his key areas holding him apart from God was actually his love of his worldly possessions. He was very rich and he loved his wealth. And his solution to this man was saying, go sell all that you have and then come and follow me. This guy's response was, that's too much, I can't do it. He walked away. He was like, no, I can't follow Jesus, there's just too much there. But it is one of those key pieces. So if we're thinking about our focus on worldly pieces, it's actually we can actually get rid of things that we have in our lives that are distracting us from God, and being intentional and actually pushing towards God and in other areas. So if we actually spend time with God, we'll find that these things of the world actually do grow strangely dim, as the words of the song go, that you can actually get this focus shift, that you have to be intentional about it. It doesn't happen on its own. It's something that if you actually deliberately set out on this journey, you can make a difference. I think about how much my life looks now to when I was younger, and I was probably, as an 18-year-old, if I knew what 35-year-old Matthew looked like today, I'd probably be like, he doesn't get an awful lot of time to himself. He's got a lot of responsibilities. That doesn't sound super fun. But you actually get a lot from it, and you know, I'm very, very content with where God has me at the moment. And you know, I had this thing as a teenager, it's kind of a great time of life for many of us, where we have no idea how much free time we've got, how much opportunity we've got to do things for ourselves. And you know, even if you get to school, you get home from school, you might have to do a little bit of homework, and then free time. Oh, I've got to do a chore. One chore? I am working on my children at the moment, and the idea of doing chores is just like the greatest evil a parent can inflict upon them. But as you go with these things, you realise that it's actually a really good place to be, and that you can jump in there and actually have a deep satisfaction that you actually don't get from when you're focusing on yourself. That the level of peace and contentment that I have in my life is so much greater now than I had at a time when I had so much more time to be selfish and do things for myself. And then I want to talk about where to be generous. So we looked at this passage a bit earlier, our desire, this is Paul speaking here in the letter, that others might be relieved, is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. to this idea of we actually want to bring ourselves up and actually help each other. For some of you who have been around Hope for a while, this next bit, some of these pieces will be familiar because I've used it before, so apologies, don't stone me. I've got these four areas which I like to look at when it comes to being generous. So look at our household, our relatives, our church, family, and our wider community. So I look at it as this little circle here, which I find a really helpful one and that I use to kind of think about how I'm supporting the people around me. So you have a responsibility to your household. And this is probably the easiest one in that it's kind of part of our human nature is actually to look around after those around us. It's probably easier to, you know, depending on where you're at, but, you know, you've got children and it's just like, oh, yeah, I love my children. I'm going to support them. And I find, for me, that's not a very difficult thing to do, looking after my children and, you know, supporting my wife, who I love dearly as well. Find that, some of you might find that harder as well, but for me, that's one of the areas where I'm like, oh, yeah, that's fine. I can do that. And the Bible's really clear about you actually need to look after your family and has really, really strong language on that, saying that if you don't look after your own family, you're worse than an unbeliever. This is very, very strong language. And then there's this idea of a broader family. So we have relatives around us who also need help, and Scripture talks about that you should actually look after your own family. Don't go to the church first for help when you've got family that can help. And it talks about it here in 1 Timothy chapter 5. So, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, they should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. So if you've got family in need and you're able to support them, it's really, really important to support them, and rather than just being like, oh, yeah, someone else will do that. You've actually got a really core responsibility to your relatives. And then there's fellow believers. As a body of believers here at Hope Christian Church, we do help each other, and we see lots of this, and it's awesome to see where this happens. So we have 2 Corinthians, again from the passage, talking about our desires, not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, and we talked about this before, going through there. The fellow believers actually band together and actually help each other in the community, and actually look out. And we heard a little bit about Charlie earlier, someone that had a need and needed some support, and the church community got around him and actually was like, yes, we can actually help you do this thing that you need in your life, which is really, really special. And I think as we kind of go to these broader things, it can sometimes be harder to be generous. I think at this level, it's like, okay, this is someone I know and care about, so maybe it's a little bit easier to be generous. And then I think the wider community can potentially be the hardest one to work with, because they can be people that you might not know personally, or you might not have liked them very much. And this is where I like to talk about the parable of the Good Samaritan, where, you know, the Good Samaritan walks along and he sees someone in need on the side of the road who needs help, and he's just like, I'm going to go and do that. I'm going to help this person because that person needs help. And I want to spend a couple of moments to look at the history and kind of the context of Christian giving, because this has defined Christianity much more than a lot of us potentially realise, that throughout church history, a lot of these giving to the wider community comes from our Christian faith. And we see it all over the world in countries that have had a Christian influence. This idea of this person over here is in need. That person is created in the image of God. And we're going to actually help them. And to look at a Tasmanian example, I'm going to pull up a few logos here. And I know I've done pathways, so yeah, apologies. I couldn't leave it out. There's actually an awful lot of organisations throughout Tasmania that were founded because of their Christian values and identity. If you look at most of the community services organisation in Tasmania, most of them were started by Christians. Some of them are less Christian today than they were when they started, but there's this huge legacy within the state of Tasmania, and you see this all over the world, but yeah, particularly here, I know this area a lot better, and you'd be familiar with a whole bunch of the names on this slide that I put up there. You would be like, oh yes, I know that they go and help out the community, and this is something that's quite special to the Christian faith, and something, this idea that we actually do need to love our neighbour as ourselves. There's this survey that goes around. It's really, really helpful. Have a look at it if you haven't. It's called Neighbour, N-A-Y-B-A. they do an annual report and they basically look at the impact of faith support in our community. And the last report I was looking at is saying over 200,000 people were served in the past year by faith-based organisations in Tasmania, which is absolutely huge. Most of the respondents to that survey were churches. I think it was about three quarters of the responses there was churches specifically, and I think the rest were kind of organisations that are kind of like parachurch organisations that work kind of alongside them. Small caveat, there is about, it's not specifically Christian faith-based organisations in this survey, but 97 or 98% of respondents were Christian faith organisations. So I think it's a fairly good proxy for looking at what the church is doing in Tasmania. And they, don't ask me how they actually come up with these numbers, but they've got this, you know, $82 million of social impact value to the state of Tasmania each year from these faith-based organisations, which is something really quite special, and probably a lot of us are not aware of how much that kind of comes out. A lot of people in the wider community can criticise the church for the amount of times I've seen people online talk about why don't Christians spend more money on the community and do more for the community rather than doing whatever pet peeve they've got at the time. The reality is that Christians as a group do an enormous amount for the community, and it's just a really core part of our DNA as Christians, this idea that we're supposed to be generous. So we looked at these three areas. So what is generosity? How do we have a good attitude about it? And where do we be generous? So going back to my kind of definition I used at the beginning, so I've got generosity is the outworking of loving your neighbour as yourself. So that's kind of a key piece for me, thinking about how do we do generosity? If you love your neighbour as yourself, suddenly generosity is going to be a natural extension of that. And we know that God loves a cheerful giver, that there's this idea that we should be, as Christians, we're not being dragged off to be generous. It's not like taxation where the government says you have to do this or we're going to put you in jail. God loves a cheerful giver. This is something that comes from our own selves. That's something that we choose to do, and it's a key part of our identity as Christians. And then we should look for opportunities to be generous in every area of our lives. So I talked about those four categories. Have a think for yourself, maybe. What area do you find the hardest to be generous in? You might find there's a couple of them which like, oh, yep, I'm good with that. I love that. And then there'll be some other things you're like, oh, that's really, really hard. For me, I think it's hardest to be generous the further you're away from the thing that you've been generous towards. If it's someone that you know and are close to, it's easier to be generous to. If it's more of a distant idea where I'm like, yeah, I know that's something that's really helpful, but I don't have this really personal connection with it. For you, it might be different. So it's something, maybe the challenge for the week is to think about your generosity, is that have a look at your heart attitude. How are you approaching generosity in your life? Are you a cheerful giver? Are you doing it under compulsion because you feel like you have to? Maybe spend some time working through that with God. And then look at those areas of generosity in your life. What area do you find the hardest, and where might God be challenging you today to think about that generosity in your life and how you could do that differently?